Today is the 26th of April, 2015, and you've joined us for a morning service of Weatherby House Church, located in Weatherby, Missouri. Sometimes we go down, that's northwest Missouri, sometimes we go down to southwest Missouri to the Pineville House Church. Okay, this morning we have four selections that have been handed to me. This first one is Psalm 94, page 47.
God of vengeance, O Jehovah, God of vengeance, O shine forth. Rise up, O ye judge of nations, render to the proud their word. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked boast? Arrogant the words they pour out, all in all taunting hosts. They, Jehovah, crush your people, and your heritage distressed. They kill sojourner and widow, murder they the fatherless. And they say, Jehovah sees not, Jacob's God does not have eyes. Understand those stupid people, when, O fools, will you be wise? Who the ear may, does he hear not? Who formed eyes, does he not see? Who warns nations, does he smite not? Who men teaches, knows not he? All the thoughts of men the Lord sees, those and but a breath are they. Bless the man who you chastise, Lord, who you teach to know the way. Give him rest from days of trouble, till the wicked be o'erthrown. Our Lord will not leave his people, will abandon not his own. When to every verdict given, justice shall come back again. Everyone whose heart is upright will see righteous judgment then.
Okay, the next one is 136 in the Old School Hymnal.
Wonderful Jesus, glorious friend, he will be with me unto the end, cheering, upholding, keeping me strong, fearless and loyal, shielding from wrong. Wonderful Jesus, marvelous King, ever his praise my spirit shall sing. When I behold his glorified face, how shall I praise his wonderful grace? Wonderful Jesus, showing the way into the blessed kingdom of day, guiding my footsteps, holding control, making me happy, keeping me whole. wonderful Jesus, all through the night. He will enfold me, giving me light. Then when the morning breaks on the shore, yes, he will whisper mine evermore. Wonderful Jesus, marvelous King, ever his praise my spirit shall sing. When I behold his glorified face, how I shall praise his wonderful grace.
Okay, the last selection we have is 154, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How gracious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The world shall soon to ruin go, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me, hear me low, shall be forever mine.
Dear Lord, we pray you go with us in this service this morning. We pray that your name would be exalted and glorified. We pray that you would continue to lead and guide and direct our hearts and all that is said and done, we pray. We ask this in Christ's name and for his glory alone. Amen. Well, I recently saw a posting on Facebook. I think it was Tim that put it on there, but it was very demonstrative. It was a picture of Nebuchadnezzar crawling on the ground with his fingers out like claws, like animals, eating grass. Well, if we look in Jeremiah, and it says in the 11th verse, the 28th chapter, the 11th verse says, and Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Well, we have to realize that whether it's Nebuchadnezzar, or whether it's Pharaoh, or whether it's the wicked, evil nations that came against God's people, whoever it is that's coming against God and against His Word, they're in a very precarious position. There's a passage in Matthew 12th chapter. He says here, Jesus, of course, is contending with these Pharisees who are coming against Him. And Jesus often, when He was coming against the Pharisees, used Scripture. Often He would use the Old Testament prophets. And the 14th verse of the 12th chapter of Matthew, it says, The Pharisees went out and held a council against Him, how they might destroy Him. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from them thence, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all, charging that they should not make Him known. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon Him, and He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. In His name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, of course, the next part of this chapter is where this one was brought to Him that was possessed of the devil, and so on. And he cast the devil out, and he gave the person back their sight and their speech. And in the 23rd verse it says, All the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, I have said this before, and I'm sure a lot of people that hear there, the people that hear this message will probably say, oh, he's on his one-lane trip again. He's on his rant again. But the point I'm trying to make here is that either the Holy Spirit is the one that regenerates the heart, or the free will of man is the one that has the say in the matter. I have before made a comparison to the Pope of Rome saying that he's the vicar of Christ to people who say their free will is what brought about their salvation. They're allowing Jesus into their heart. The vicar of Christ, who is the vicar of Christ? The vicar of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Christ said, if I go away, I will send you a comforter. And Christ went back to heaven and the Holy Spirit came. On the day of Pentecost, we see evidence of that in the second chapter of Acts. And for all of God's elect, when does the Holy Spirit come? It doesn't come after they have decided to let Jesus into their heart. That's not when the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. It blows where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Now, we have to give the Holy Spirit his credit and his due. We cannot in any way minimize the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. I want to repeat that. We must never minimize the Holy Works Spirit in salvation. It's very dangerous. This is the only sin that Christ registers in the Bible that will not be forgiven, is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I have heard people in their testimonies not realizing it, that we're so putting the free will of man on the throne in their testimonies that they were coming close, if not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Anytime someone tries to share the glory of God's magnificent work in the heart of a dead, depraved sinner, they are coming close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I never will forget, I saw a Southern Baptist minister one time down in another area of Missouri, and he knew I lived up here in northwest Missouri, and he said, I need to come up in your part of the area, we need to get some people saved. Now, he may not have realized how wrong that statement was. We don't save anybody. We don't predestinate anybody. We don't call anybody. We don't elect anybody. We don't sanctify anybody. And we don't save anybody. That is all the work of God. It's all the work of God. I remember so many times as a child, sitting in a Church of God Holiness revival service, and the evangelist, they had this planned out, of course. He would have a long sermon, and he would so present his sermon to bring everybody to an emotional fervor at the last of the sermon. And just at the end of the sermon, they would quickly bring the song evangelist in to sing the song, to try to coerce people coming down to an altar and accepting Jesus into their heart. Almost persuaded. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost but lost. Almost is but to fail, it says. Almost is but to fail. Jesus Christ never fails. Jesus Christ is never a failure. All that the Father has given him will come to him. And all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Where is this almost but to fail stuff? I remember the minister saying they'd share these stories, you know, about people who they tried to coerce into making a free will decision for Christ, and then something would happen. They'd be in a car accident or something else. You know, all of this stuff. You know, wasted years, right? Let me tell you something. God's providential hand is upon his sheep. And as we see evidence in providence with Joseph all the way through his life, God was with Joseph. God was with Jacob. God was with David. Even in the midst of all of their turmoil and suffering, even in the midst of their sin, God was still there, providentially, calling his little sheep to himself. I saw a post this morning by Rustico, who is a very, very interesting fellow, because some of the things that he posts, and he posted a kitty cat, little kitten, and it was the cutest little thing, and I had just commented on the post that it was a cute cat. And he said, yes, that was taken from a poster for people who were, you know, promoting adopting animals. And I said, yeah, kind of like that cat, kitten is kind of like us. Sometimes we go astray. But we have a Father who seeks out the lost sheep and has adopted us. We find that evidenced in the book of Ephesians, adoption. But here we have, on the one side, a theology and a gospel, false gospel, that's preached that man is ultimately in charge of their own destiny by their decision. And here we have Christ on the other side saying that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. He says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon me, upon you. And he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So this is a warning not to take on the air. You're replacing the work of the Holy Spirit with your free will and Arminianism. This is a warning. There are many people out there that want to, you know, brag, literally brag about how many baptisms they had this month. How many people filled out decision cards. How many people made decisions for Christ. Do you ever hear these people bragging on God? No. They're bragging on their... I've heard people talk about, you know, oh, this is a great evangelist. Great evangelist? What did the evangelist John the Baptist do? They chopped his head off because he exposed sin. Great evangelists are not exalted. That's why I have problems with people talking about the Prince of Preachers or someone being, you know, one of the divines. It's just totally antithetical to what Scripture teaches. How many people are out proclaiming the glory and honor and power of the Holy Spirit in salvation? How many do you hear about that? No, they want to put up some renowned marketeer, whether it's David Jeremiah, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, Billy and Franklin Graham, Rick Warren, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Myers, Paula White, Benny Hinn. They're all in the same camp. They're all in the same camp. It's the exaltation of the preacher. It is not exalting the Holy Spirit. God says, I will not share my glory with another. We can take absolutely no credit for the work that Christ did on the cross. And we can take no credit and take credit away from the Holy Spirit for drawing us to Christ. And we can take no credit away from the Father who gave us to the Son in the first place. So, the whole Arminian doctrine, to understand, is an attack upon the Trinity. It's an attack upon the Father's work. It's an attack upon Jesus Christ's work on the cross, which was completed. And it's an attack on the Holy Spirit's work in drawing the sinner to Christ by making it all a part of man's will. Will worship is what is called will worship. Okay, well, that's what I had on my mind this morning, and now we're going to have a final selection here, and why don't we just sing number... let's see. I had a sheet here somewhere.
She is. Oh.
135. Page 135. I was once far away from the Savior, and as vile as a sinner could be, I wondered if Christ the Redeemer would save a poor sinner like me. I was wandering on in the darkness, not a ray of the light could I see, and the thought filled my heart with sadness, there's no hope for a sinner like me. And then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice whispered sweetly to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner like me. I listened, and lo, 'twas the Savior who was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, I'm the cheapest of sinners, who can save a poor sinner like me. I then fully trusted in Jesus, and oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was filled with his praises for saving a sinner like me.
Dear Lord God, we know that you're sovereign in heaven, that you're always sovereign. We pray to honor you and your Son, and your Spirit of your presence, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.